Well, we planned on this being a Bible study, and I want anyone that has something to say to be free to pitch in. Somebody mentioned they thought maybe it should be recorded, and so I am going to do it from here, and maybe a little more as a message, although I set it up as a Bible study. So I'm thinking about marriage tonight, and I'm thinking about God's mind. What do you think was in God's mind when He made the plan of marriage? What do you think His thoughts were about it? Jesus, in Mark 10 and 6, 7 and 8, He said, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh." So it makes you think for a moment, so where did this idea of marriage begin? You think about in the beginning. Now, it's not talking about the beginning of the law, because He just mentioned previous to that about Moses and made it clear He was talking about beyond Moses here. And so it says, in the beginning, God made them male and female. You know, when you think about what God put into us, He put a piece of Himself, didn't He? God made a capacity for a man to have love in his heart. And He made a capacity for a woman to have love in her heart. And He made a capacity for there to be joy that cannot be really shared any other way except through marriage. God made that, didn't He? He had it in His mind. He developed it. He thought about it. I believe that He planned into this thing. And so when He made man, let's turn back to Genesis 1 and 27. It says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." Now, He didn't say that about any other being. There was no animals that God said, "They're in my image." Just man and woman. And that was the sixth day of creation. And it says, "And God blessed them." That's what it says about man and woman. And it doesn't say that about in that way about the other creations of God. It says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them," this is verse 1 and 20, chapter 1 and verse 28 of Genesis, "And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And on down it says, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." It says, in the beginning, God made them male and female. And it says, He blessed them. You know, God saw that everything He made, He said, "Behold, it was very good." I want us to think about that this evening, that God set it up like this. And so marriage began way back there in the beginning. And that's what Jesus refers back to. Now, let's listen to Genesis 2, starting at verse 20. And it says, "And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him." Now, I want to explain this in a minute. But I want to notice that it says there was not found an help meet for him. It doesn't say an help meet for him. If you look it up in the Hebrew, it's actually two words. It's help and it's meet. And we'll come to that in a moment. But it says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now this is in two different places here, but let's remember this all happened on the sixth day. And God blessed them, it says. And Adam, he said, listen to what he said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And so Adam recognized that, and he accepted that. He accepted Eve. I don't think God said, here she is, Adam, take it. Take her or leave her. But he accepted Eve, didn't he? And he saw her. And I believe he realized there was a place to be filled that nothing else could fill. And you know, tonight, I really believe what God had in mind for marriage was really, really special. I think the most special things of life are involved with marriage. You know, the scripture says, marriage is honorable in all. Now this is, I'll just tell you where these are, but I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures. Hebrews 13 and 4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. I want us to remember something. Because we live in a world full of perversion, full of ill notions and all kinds of things, I'm going to say this quickly and as discreetly as I know how to say it. But man was made. He didn't suddenly, at the fall, wake up and become a sexual person. Now, God made man that way. It's not evil or wrong, folks. It's a part of life that God gave to man and woman. We should cherish it. We should honor it, and we should be careful in our lives with that aspect of our life. Because he says, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. And so the Lord made some special things for marriage that's not to be had any other way, any other place. And so we go on and read in Ephesians 5 and 31. Let's remember that man was made not only as a physical being, but a spiritual being. And God made him holy and healthy. And he made a blessing for man. And so in Ephesians 5 and 31, now I'm still thinking about what was in God's mind when he made man. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Folks, marriage is a gift of God. And we see all around us, I don't know what the numbers are now, probably somewhere around 50% of marriages break up, is that right? I think it's actually more than that. And probably some of those are second, third marriages and all. But God made marriage, and he likened it to the relationship between a man and a wife. He likened that between him and his church. I have to think that God was thinking something really beautiful. And he prayed for his people, and he prayed that they would be one, even as thou, Father, art. That's not exact, maybe, but In John 17, you read the prayer of Jesus where he prayed for his people. And he prayed for them to be one like the Father and the Son was one. I think that has to be a beautiful relationship. I think God planned on marriage to be like that, don't you? Now, we're not sticking our heads in the sand and saying there are no troubles, because I want to address some of those things. But I want us to think about God's mind in it. He made it. He made it beautiful, didn't he? And I hope our young people can realize God has something really beautiful and wonderful available to us. He has that. It's also something that can create the greatest and deepest pain a man can feel, probably. I don't know any deeper pain. I've known men that have been through breaking up and things like that. It's very painful, isn't it? And so, but let's keep in mind that God made it right. He designed it right. And he said that Paul said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And he was talking about marriage between a man and a woman. He's talking about a very close relationship, one where a man and a woman are truly one. One where there is joys and happinesses that I don't think is possible any other way. God made it that way. Let's recognize that's what God made. Now, how we do it in our home it may be different than that, but that's what God made. That's what his idea was. And so, it's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. And there are some things worth contending for. The scriptures tell us to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. I want to tell you something. I believe that a good, wholesome, holy, godly, happy marriage is something to contend for. I think he could say the same thing about that. Contend for the marriage God gave you. Contend for it. And don't let it just slip by and say, well, not going to happen for me. I can't. This is what God planned. When we get centered up in God's thoughts and his ways and his plans, that's what will come to pass. We put seeds in the ground and they grow up and they make what God planned them to be. When we put ourselves in God's ground and in his hands and in his ways, I believe it produces what God said it would produce, what he made it to produce. So let's think about that tonight. I want to think about a few of the things that the scriptures tell us about marriage. And let's remember something as we go through here. Unselfishness and love from two will make a marriage thrive. Now, why would we not just always all do that? Unselfishness and love would always make a marriage to thrive. But you know what? That takes more than one. It takes two. It takes two. In fact, it really takes three. And so when we see what happens in marriages that do not thrive, do you know what you will always find? Always? Always? Selfishness. It is the seed of problems. You'll find somebody feeding their own flesh, their own desires, letting their lust go, or whatever it is. However it happens, you will find that as the bed that the seeds are growing, that the plants are growing in. You'll find that, won't you? And so I want to encourage the young folks to be careful who you marry. Because God planned this. You make sure you marry somebody that has this in mind. You make sure you marry somebody It's better, I think. I think there's some things worse than being single. Is that all right? There's some things worse than being single. Because abuses happen, and troubles happen, and tears are shed. I've seen a lot of them. But I want to tell you something. God has something in mind. And folks, if we will all follow after His plan and look to the Lord, I think we'll find a beauty that God grows up in our marriage. In Ecclesiastes 4 and 8, listen to what the wise man said. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This all is also vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail. And so he doesn't have time for a wife. He doesn't have time for beloved children or anything except his narrow vision of just being stuck, working like a treadmill. I knew of a man, my father worked with him, and his wife told him, he said, if you don't quit working all the time, I'm going to leave you. Well, he chose his work. That's what he did. And she left him. Do you know, that's what I would call selfishness. Somebody loves something more than they love their spouse. And so tonight, he says, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. He just works as hard as if he was going to set it up for eternity, and then he's going to die and leave it all to whoever. He says, this is also vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail. The wise man saw a lot of things in his day. Listen to what he goes on to say. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Have you ever needed that? You that are married, any of you ever needed that? You ever needed lifting up when your foot slipped, or you felt like you was about to slip? You know, that's a really important thing, isn't it? It's a beautiful thing. And the wise man says two are better than one. I'm not here to bash one, because for some that is their life, and God will make that fulfilling as well. But I'm looking at the picture of marriage tonight. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, a threefold cord is what it says. It's threefold. And so, you know, I don't know what he meant by that exactly when he wrote this. But I have to believe that when the Lord is intertwined in the marriage, it provides another cord that makes it impossible to break the marriage, short of one of us becoming totally selfish. Is that all right? God put within us a capacity to love and be loved. And I want to tell you, it is wonderful to be loved. It is a beautiful thing. Every person needs to feel loved, don't they? And we all do to some extent, hopefully. All of us here sure should. But I want to tell you something. God put a piece of Himself in us. And that piece of Himself, He wants it to grow and blossom. It's fully unselfish. You see it in the reflection of Jesus Christ, don't you? And here He came from heaven with the glory of God and the angels and all that, and He came down here for us. And then he gave his life for us. And he took all the brunt and punishment of sin as if he had been the sinner. And he had done no sin. That's unselfishness, isn't it? And the Lord wants, he has put a piece of himself in us. And we have known, 1 John 4:16, and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. That's where it comes from. Folks, our secret, you see, there's a secret here. Our secret is God. Because it says God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. That's where it's coming from. Now we know what the secret is. Folks, we're not too good on our own, are we? We become selfish really quick. But when we walk with the Lord, I want to tell you, God will make it all right. I found that to be so. The Lord said, Genesis 2:18, it is not good that man should be alone. I think we read that. I will make him and help meet for him. You know, this is what the designer said. We're looking into the mind of the Lord. Lord, what's in your mind tonight? What was you thinking when you made this marriage that so many have trouble with? What was you thinking? He said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make him and help me. I'll make him a help, which simply means aid. Look it up. That's usually there's a bunch of words. Help in Strong's Concordance in the Hebrew says an aid. Just says aid. And then it goes on to tell you the ways it's used in the Bible. But and meet means a front. That is a part opposite. Specifically a counterpart or mate. Over, against, or before. It's talking about somebody close. Somebody mirrors you. Somebody that's made like you are. Somebody that you can be social with. Somebody that you can share life's joys with and share life's burdens with. That's what he made our spouse to be. And so, someone to hold conversation with. So I want us to think about help meet in that way. They're a counterpart. A woman was not made for a man to be an inferior in the sense that she doesn't have the mental capacities and all of those things. I want to tell you, lots of times they have a little more discernment than we do sometimes, don't they? Sometimes they do. A lot of times they do, actually. And we'd do well to latch onto that and take heed to that. But that help that is supposed to be meet, I like to think of meet meaning sufficient to the task. That's what I like to think. It's meet. It's able. It's able. It's sufficient. And so the Lord made marriage like that. Share life together. But like we said, the joys and burdens. When we first got married, we enjoyed a lot of sheer joy. Now, we did. Okay? Now, I know I'm saying that as in the past. I said that. We did. We enjoyed sheer joy. For several years, it seemed to me like life was but a dream. But lo and behold, we started having burdens put on us. We had children. We had a full-time job. Sometimes we had to work long hours to make ends meet, because that's the only thing we could do. We didn't have any way to pay the bills without it. And then there was church responsibilities, that callings that the Lord began to give. And life began to get really full of responsibility. And the sheer joy, just, you know, no cares, no nothing, that don't last in that form, does it? But it's kind of like a butterfly or a cocoon. And you see something develop and it changes into something, and it matures into something even more beautiful. Something that can handle issues and troubles and weights and problems and needs and love in the midst of it. And so I want to encourage us that sheer joy needs to mature and learn, and then we begin to learn what it means to enjoy each other by purposing and doggedly making sure our love stayed alive. Did you know that can happen for all of us? It's God's plan. Of course it can happen. We need to accept that. Sure, it can happen in my marriage, your marriage, every marriage. And so I want to challenge us tonight. Let's pray that God will heal the places in our marriages that would threaten our happiness and joy. Because though it has matured from this sheer delight, I just got married and I'm on top of the world, and you just feel that way. Well, you don't feel that way all the time when you're really tired and you've been working long hours and your children are crying at night. Then you got to get back up and go, period. You just have to. And many things come along, and sicknesses and trouble. And you know what? It is then that love begins to take on a new form. And it begins to be much more valuable because it can meet all kinds of adversaries. And come through and still love. I want to tell you, Rosie has mentioned this little... She's done a little study at different times on the water cycle and how the earth is renewed. And you know, everything that God made is renewed like that? Or I suppose about everything that I know of. You know, the water we're drinking today... Maybe Adam drank some of that same water exactly. Maybe he drank some of those same molecules. I don't know how you'd look at that, but anyway, it's a thought. But I will tell you this, it's the same water that was here back then. And so we find that God renews that. It goes through his process, through a way of renewing, and then it's fresh all over again. Just like it was in the beginning. And do you know that the dirt, you throw stuff out in a compost pile, for instance, and you throw out all your scraps and all of that stuff, and you know what? In a little bit, it's the richest soil you've got. You want to grow something in it, you go out to the compost pile. I need some dirt that'll grow something. Well, you know what? God does that in our lives, doesn't he? And so our lives begin to take on new form and new meaning in it. And I want to challenge us today to look at our marriage and begin to understand that God in his mind had it made where we would be one. Where we would be one in spirit. Where we would be one as a unit. Where we would make decisions as one. Now I want to talk about in a future lesson the home and the way God set it up. Because that's important. But I want to tell you something. In all, it'll be one. So when you get all done talking about all those things and studying and everything else, it's one. It's not someone and a little helper down here. It's one that is a counterpart. It's one that is one with us. It is one that is on the same page with us. So, and I know there's things you have to make decisions on from time to time. But I want to tell you, the Lord wants our homes to be one. And folks, it's worth contending for. And so I know this is just the first in a little series, I believe. And I'll just be doing these between others. That may have a burden. Brother Jim's down in Oklahoma City tonight, and different ones. I think Brother Doug. But I want to do a little series here for us and ask the Lord to bless it. And I'd like you to ask the Lord to bless it. Because, folks, I believe we have something here that we live underprivileged so much of the time. God made our homes to be happy places. He did not make them to be full of strife. If they are full of strife, I will assure you of one thing. There is selfishness somewhere. There is selfishness somewhere. So let's root it out. God is love. And God put a piece of himself in us. He made our homes to be full of love. And so we don't want to say, well, we're too different. I've said for years that I used to say, and I hardly say that now because we've meshed together through God's process. But I want to tell you, when we started out, I told people, I think that we are on the extreme edge of where two people can make it because we are so different. You know what? I still believe that that was sort of the case. My wife and I are very different. I don't set us up as the perfect example, but I want to tell you something. The Lord has given us a happy marriage here, and we enjoy that. We had to fight for it. Because there were days that I didn't feel happy about it. And she didn't either. And I just want to be honest with us today. Folks, there is something worth fighting for. Because what comes in the long term is a wonderful, wonderful situation that God... it's like the crops coming in and the fruits of your labor. And then what do you enjoy when the crops are on and the fruits are there and you're enjoying all those things? That's a gift of God, isn't it? Let's let the Lord work with us like that. Let's remember this scripture in 1 Peter 3:7. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, sometimes we hear a lot of words and we don't catch the depth of it. This scripture says, as being heirs together of the grace of life. Do you know that we are heirs to this fortune that God planned for us to have? We are heirs together. We're not going to make it on our own. We're not going to go outside it and make it, because it's not there. God made us to be heirs together of the grace of God. That's what he made. Of the grace of life, it actually says. It's a beautiful way of saying that. There are, and I'm going to touch on this. There are elements that have to be in place for a happy marriage. Effort has to be put in, doesn't there? Isn't that true? There has to be real effort on our part, because it probably will not happen otherwise. There has to be time. Did you know it takes time to make a marriage happy and make it work? Did you know we have to give up time doing something else to have time for our marriage? Because we only have 24 hours a day. And so much of it is sleeping or resting, and so much of it is working, and so much of it is dealing with other responsibilities. And then we get this little piece that's left. And how we cut it up. If we are selfish, we will suffer for that. But I want to tell you, there's something to put into marriage that can change the dynamics of it. Time is an element that you cannot buy it away. You cannot buy enough flowers to make a woman happy, man. You can't buy enough cars to make her happy. You can't buy enough whatever she likes. She wants something more than that, whether she even fully understands it or not. She needs us. Let's give our marriage time and effort, and let's give it that boost and that effort. We talked about the water cycle and the renewing of everything. I really believe that marriage is the same exact thing. God made it the same way. He made it to be fresh and new all over again. Again and again, didn't he? How many of us as married realize that marriage can be just as enjoyable and happy practically as the day we were married? And then it has to be renewed over and over, doesn't it? And we learn to do that in the midst of all the responsibilities, in the midst of all the things that come, in the midst of our differences. I will tell you one thing we have found. And everybody has their own ways of doing things. I'm not saying this is the only way to do it. But we found that to take a little time, we try each week. It don't always happen. But to just be there for each other. Just be together. We like to take a little date out. You know what? That's an investment of time. But I want to tell you, on that date, we don't talk about issues, problems. We don't talk about those things because we are wedding what we know is there. We're wedding the love we have for each other. We are working on making each other happy. You know, like you did before you got married? When you got together, the only thing you could think of was, what do you want? Where do you want to go? What would you like to do? That's the way it was, wasn't it? Well, you know that those same things work today. People go out and they get into all kinds of illicit affairs and things like, and you know what they, it just blossoms all of a sudden. Well, you know what they start doing? They start doing the same thing they did with their wife before they got married. And pretty soon that wears off and it's got to be something different. I'll tell you, God made it to be renewed. We're renewed in our mind day by day, aren't we? We're renewed in so many ways. We're renewed spiritually. And the Lord wants our marriage to be renewed again and again and again. And, you know, when you finally realize the secrets of some of those things, you realize, you know what? We need to get away from the stresses of life for 2 hours. Sometimes we've taken, and we do this about once a year, so sometimes when it just seems like the stress is on, we'll take 24 hours and hook the travel trailer up and just pull it down to Edmond, to Lake Arcadia, and just set it down for maybe 24, maybe 32 hours. That's all we have. And so we pull it down there, and it feels like we've been away for a week. How does that happen? Oh, it's just the way God set things up. And so tonight, I just want to encourage all of us. God has a blessing for your marriage and mine. I know it takes two, and we can't always make it happen if the other one won't cooperate. But I want to encourage us to do everything we can to make it happen, to do everything we can to show an unselfish love, because, folks, we only have one. And later we want to work with that and deal with that, the scriptures that the Lord talks about from the beginning. It was not so where you could go out and just get another one. We can't do that, can we? We have one, and the Lord wants that one to be a happy marriage tonight. So the Lord bless us to fulfill God's design and to allow His gift and for the joy that is set before us in our marriage to maybe endure some things, maybe forbear sometimes, and forgive sometimes. The Lord told me one time, the Lord gave me that scripture, forbearing and forgiving one another. You know, those are things that we have to do. And then we set the stage for that miracle that God makes happen to happen again. And that renewing of affection, renewing of love, renewing of of those things. And you know, when you learn some of those secrets like that, and you learn, hey, maybe I need to just stop being real, have barbs all over me, and be so, maybe I need to be, what can I do for you? You know, maybe it would work. You'd be surprised how those things, we can, there's a few weapons the Lord has given to you and me in our arsenal. And two of them is love and humility. And I want to tell you, when we work with those weapons, though the walls cannot be blasted down any other way, it knocks walls down that is impossible to come down any other way. And so somebody has to start that process. I want to challenge us tonight to start the process of loving each other like that. And giving ourselves to one another like that. And instead of every time we see one another picking up the last stressful points that we've been pushing at each other, maybe just go outside the box. Let's just show some time, some love. What do you want? You know what they like. Do it. But you'd be surprised. It might even excite something that you'd be surprised at. And I'm talking about a love, a reflection of what you're giving them. And a lot of times it has to start with one. So the Lord bless us tonight. And you pray for this little series. I feel very burdened for this. And we want to talk about the permanency of marriage, because marriage is a covenant. When Adam took Eve, it was permanent. And God wants it to be so in our lives. And He wants to bless it. The Lord blessed Adam and Eve. He wants to bless us too. And He will, if we'll let Him. You pray for me.